The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Hey, I have an announcement before we get into our message today. I teased it a little bit out last week. I said I had a big announcement. I put it in my email. So some of you know I have an announcement, and it's that Lisa is not pregnant. That's the first announcement. But we have another announcement. You know our love for our city, and we also have a passion to plant churches and come alongside of churches to help get them healthy. And bottom line is to expand the kingdom of God as quickly and as far as possible across our city. And a couple of years ago, we had an opportunity to partner with a Spanish church with Obed, and we had a Spanish campus here for 2 years. Then there was an opportunity for them to move south into their own building. It was a great move. They're so happy. We're still in touch with them. But ever since then, I just felt like we're missing something. I mean, Spanish is a big thing. It's a big language in our state, right? And I just feel like, man, we're missing people that I can't reach because of that language barrier. I didn't know how to solve that problem. We've been praying about it. And then I love how God just puts things together. There's a Spanish church in Albuquerque that needed a home, and they were praying as well. So I was praying and they were praying, and God brought us together in the last couple of weeks. And I'm excited to tell you that there is a Spanish church. It's called Bethany that will be, they actually already moved in, and they'll be meeting here on Sunday nights. And I'm super, super excited about this. They're an amazing group of people. They've got a lot already going on. And I just really believe, I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me as we were processing this, that we would accomplish more together than either of us could ever accomplish on our own. You know, we moved here 5 years ago. We have this huge facility, and there was lots and lots of rooms not being used and lots of time slots not being used. And one of the things we committed to, we said, look, God, you've given us this location and this facility, and we want to leverage it to its maximum capacity to reach as many people as possible. And I just see that this is one of those opportunities. And so we're going to partner. It's kind of like having someone just move into your house, all right? There's going to be some friction and some things we got to work out, but we're committed to this, and we know we can work those things out. And so I want you to welcome this morning Pastor Ramon and Consuela Garcia. They're going to join me for just a moment. Will you welcome them this morning? I've known these guys for about 3 weeks now. Deep, deep relationship, but I have just fallen absolutely in love with them, and I'm super excited. I just wanted them to be here today. This is more than a real estate contract. It's not landlord, leasee. This is a partnership to expand the kingdom of God. I wanted you to see them and hear from them, and I want you to buy into this vision with me. So, Ramon, take it away for a minute. Man.
Thank you, and let me tell you something. You guys have an awesome pastor. If you didn't know that, I know you know that, but if you didn't know that, he's an awesome pastor. And one of the things that I appreciate about you, Pastor, is that you can hear from God. Mm-hmm. And that's an awesome thing, to have someone to have that ear for the things of God. And so I want to thank you for everything that we have done so far. About three weeks. This is a God thing. This is how God works in our lives. I believe that God always takes us to that detours in life. Have you ever been in detour?
Yeah.
That's my detour. That's our detour. That's Bethany detour. But I think in that detour is when you can find God.
Yeah.
God, you will always find God in the detours of your life. So don't be, you know, afraid of whatever happens. So I'm looking forward to everything that God has for us. And again, like I said, we want to be a blessing to the church as well. We don't want to be a burden in any way. We want to be a blessing in everything that we have and everything that we know that we do. We want to partner with Harvest Church and be a part of it. The Bible said that we are one in Christ. We're not two or three or four. No, yeah. We're just one in Christ.
Yes.
And so that's what we want to be. We want to be one in Christ.
Yeah.
Work as one, because our church is Albuquerque.
Yes.
That should be our main focus,
Amen.
Albuquerque.
Amen.
Is saved for Christ.
Awesome.
And I didn't introduce my wife earlier, so I better do that
You got in trouble between services, didn't you?
No, but my wife, Consuelo Garcia, and my daughter as well, Crystal Garcia. And I have two other boys. They're coming in tonight, actually. They are living in Las Vegas. Oh, my, Las Vegas. Yes. But they're great. They're at a great church out there, yeah. At a Bible college over there. So I praise God for them as well. So amen. Thank you. I'm looking forward to what God has for us.
Amen. Thank you, Ramon. Church, will you, before they leave, will you pray with us? We want to commit this effort to the Lord. And we really do believe that there are more people in our area that don't know Jesus. Some of them speak English, some of them speak Spanish, some of them speak something else. I don't know how we're going to reach those people, but God's going to help us. So will you join me and let's just pray over this and just commit it to the Lord. So Father, we just pray right now over Ramon and Consuelo. We pray, God, over Bethany Church. God, bless this church immensely. God, we are believing you. God, we believe you've spoken to us. And as we partner, that your kingdom is going to grow and expand, that more people are going to come to know you. You, that you're going to transform lives. God, we pray, God, over this, and we just commit it to you. God, we ask you for your help. We ask you, God, to use this effort. God, we ask you to give us wisdom throughout every step of the process. God, give us wisdom, Lord, and help us. And Lord, we're just believing you for great things ahead, Lord, as we partner to expand your kingdom in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. We give them a hand one more time this morning. All right. Amen. Well, hey, we are starting a new series today. It's called The Big Ask. The Big Ask. It's a series about the awkwardness of spiritual conversations. All right. And the title today, it's a long title, is this: Home Remedies, Air Fryers, Evangelists, and Laguna Burger. That's my title today, all right? Home Remedies, Air Fryers, Evangelists, and Laguna Burger. And if you're wondering what those have in common, you're going to have to wait and see. But I promise by the end of the message, we're gonna connect all of that together. How many of you would admit that it is sometimes awkward, maybe scary, maybe nerve-wracking to strike up a spiritual conversation with someone, whether it's a friend or a family or a neighbor or a stranger? How many of you would admit that? It can be a little scary or weird or awkward, right? Whatever word you want to use there. So that's what this series is all about. Now, I just have to believe that God has kind of set us up for this series because we're just coming out of The Holy Spirit is Not a Bird. And one of the things we learned in that series comes from Acts 1:8 that says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to do what? To be my witness. And I just believe that God set us up. We spent 4 weeks learning about the person of the Holy Spirit. We've sought his power and his gifts and everything that comes with him. And now that we've been emboldened, right, we're ready, we're courageous. Now we're going to get really practical and talk about, so how do we have these spiritual conversations. Before we dive in, I want us to review our theme verse for the year. I want us to make sure this is getting deep inside of our hearts. And I love this verse because every time I say it out loud, it just puts faith in my heart for whatever I'm facing at that current time. And so why don't you help me on the count of three? We're going to say this out loud and with some passion today. We're just going to announce this. We'll announce this to the enemy. And we're just going to announce this to our own hearts this morning, because God really can do anything. Do you believe that? All right, let's say this together. 1, 2, 3. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So that's what we're asking in this series, is that the Spirit of God would work deeply and gently within us and to help us to have those awkward spiritual conversations. I want you to check a video out and see if you can relate to this at all, because it really can be a bit uncomfortable to pop the question. All right, check this out.
What we came out here for, what I'm here for, is I wanted to ask you. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, well, some people would say it is the biggest deal ever. I don't want this to be weird. I don't want this to be like, oh, that was weird. No, it's not. I had something that I, my wife and I, I was thinking about it, you know, and I was, but that, I mean, that's why I want to like talk about it with you. You're probably wondering, what is it? Okay, so so there's this thing. I mean, I'm not crazy or anything. What do you do on Sundays?
Can you relate to this just a little bit? Anyone? Can you relate to this? These conversations can be difficult. They can be difficult. Well, I think we're going to help you over the next couple of weeks. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Let's see if you relate to this, but you were introduced to something. Someone, you know, told you about something. You really weren't that interested to begin with, but their passion eventually won over, and eventually you tried it. Has that ever happened to you? You know, not anyone? You were introduced to something. It's like, I don't know, but they just kept pressing you, and eventually that passion just finally caused you to give in. I've been told that I've had this ability. In fact, I remember growing up, my brother and I, we were playing outside in the backyard. We had a little garden out there. There were a whole bunch of grasshoppers. I caught a grasshopper. I went into our kitchen, got into our pantry. I found a jar of hot fudge topping like you'd put on ice cream. I covered the grasshopper in hot fudge. I put it on a plate. I came back out and I convinced my brother that in certain countries, it is a delicacy to eat chocolate covered grasshoppers, and that he needed to eat it. And eventually he said no, but my passion won him over, and eventually he was biting into this chocolate-covered grasshopper, all right? About 2 years ago, I heard about this race that was happening, a big running race. It's a team relay. It's called the Ragnar. It's in the mountains of Angel Fire, and I got really, really excited about it. You run like all day, and then you run all night. You just kind of relay through it, and you're up in the mountains, and when you're not running, you're at your campsite, and I'm just like, what could be better? Like, this is amazing, and I kept talking about it and talking about it, and because of my passion, I ended up recruiting an entire team of non-runners, all right? Like, Mitch signed up. His knee is still paying for it. My dad signed up. My brother signed up. Like, all these people, like, that they don't run. All of a sudden, we're in a van headed to Angel Fire to go run this race because none of them wanted to do it in the beginning, but my passion eventually won them over. And this can happen, right? I've always kind of been just this natural salesman. I have a loud voice. I have a lot of passion. And it really doesn't matter. I could get passionate about almost anything. A couple weeks ago, we were headed to Juarez, and we stopped in Socorro at McDonald's to get breakfast. And we had all ordered, and we kind of went around the corner. And I'm in the middle of this story, and I didn't realize it. See, normally Lisa's with me, and she's kind of my gauge. She's like, you know, bring it down a little bit. You're being too loud. Or she just kicks me. You know, any of those signals work. She wasn't there. So I was getting louder and louder and more passionate. And I'm telling this story. And I'm right at the point of this story where I'm like, and then I told her if she showed up on our property, I was calling the police and we're having her kicked out of here. And right at that point, this guy, this whole group, like, was around the corner that was listening to my story, but I didn't know they were listening to my story. And they like peeked around the corner. He's like, are you going to throw us out of here? I'm like, I didn't know you were, no, I'm sorry. And I, like, the whole restaurant, I was loud enough that the whole restaurant was listening. It's a problem. It's okay. I get it. I'll go to classes later, all right? But what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Because we tend to talk about the things that we're passionate about, right? It's the natural outflow is what you're passionate about, you talk about it. When we were living in Texas, I found out that I had married a hippie and that my wife was passionate about homemade products and like home remedies, natural products. And so, I mean, she was making our own, you know, glass cleaner and counter cleaner and shower cleaner and deodorant and toothpaste and I mean, just all kinds of things. I don't even know all this stuff, all homemade. And she was passionate about it to the point that she had convinced this whole group of ladies that she was friends with to come to our house for a class on how to make all of these products. And so I'm home one day, and ladies begin to stream into our house, all these buckets and bottles and all this stuff, and they made like a little meth lab in our kitchen, and they just brewed up all these concoctions, you know, witch brews and all this like, stuff coming out. You know, and they're like, it's just us hippies in here, you know, making our cleaning stuff. I'm like, I'm going to Walmart to buy as much deodorant as I can, you know, all that aluminum filled stuff, you know. We tend to get passionate, right? I stopped by Justin and Annette's house recently, and Annette gave me her best sales pitch for the air fryer. Air fryer. I don't know if you've ever used one. I haven't. Annette has, and according to her, it's the best kitchen appliance on the planet, all right? It cooks it faster and cleaner and healthier and whatever. And so I took a picture of her air fryer. I'm like, wow, Annette, you are passionate about this air fryer, right? We talk about what we're passionate about. Or maybe think of it this way. Have you ever been somewhere that was so incredible that afterwards you just had to tell your friends about it? Maybe it was a movie you saw, a museum you went to, an experience you had, or in my case, a restaurant that you have visited. All right, you're going to learn in this series, I really love food. So my new favorite burger restaurant, in case you care, in Albuquerque is a place called Laguna Burger. I almost said Laguna. Laguna Burger. I've fallen in love with it. I'm scheduling all of my meetings there. If you want to have a lunch meeting, we can go. Okay. So I went there and I loved it. And I'm telling everybody about it. I'm like, you got to try it. You got to try it. You got to try it. But let me just tell you, because some of you are going to go, when you go, you have to get the pulled pork fries. All right, fries covered in pulled pork, covered in barbecue sauce, covered in white queso. It's a heart attack in a tray, and it's like $7, and it's amazing. All right, you got to try it. And I mean, I went, and I'm just like, I'm telling everybody. And I don't have stock in Laguna Burger, right? I don't have part ownership. I don't get kickbacks. You know, I think I should, but I don't. This is what happens when you become passionate. And there's actually a term for this. I think the term might surprise you. The term is evangelism. Did that surprise you at all? Evangelism. See, evangelism is just the idea of bringing someone into the good news. It's just telling them the good news. In my case, it was the good news about pulled pork fries, right? Nanette's, it was the good news of the air fryer. Lisa's, it was the good news that you're not going to die from all the chemicals that you're putting on your body, right? And the person that does the work of evangelism would be called an evangelist, right? You've heard these terms, right? But see, we're used to hearing them totally different. We're used to hearing evangelism and evangelist, and we're used to hearing that in a church, you know, setting, which in a church setting can often be a very different, you know, way of thinking. But I want you to hear this. Evangelism simply means an enthusiastic advocate. An enthusiastic advocate, a passionate believer who tells other people about the good news that they've discovered. You know, but for many of us, we hear the word evangelist and we picture things like this. We picture Tammy Faye and her big pink hair on TBN, right? Some of you, like, I put this in my notes. Pastor Tyler does my pictures and slides, and he texts me. He's like, I don't know who Tammy Faye is. I'm like, you don't know who Tammy Faye is? Just Google pink hair evangelist. She comes right up, right? Or maybe you picture Benny Hinn, right? Benny Hinn, just blowing people over and all this stuff happening, right? Maybe you picture this fire and brimstone preacher, just telling everybody they're going to go to hell, sinner in the hands of an angry God kind of a thing. And in church circles, those tend to be the kind of the way we think of it. But I want to rewire your thinking today to think of it as this. An evangelist is a passionate believer, an enthusiastic advocate. So as I'm thinking about this, I kept asking myself this question. So how does something get popular? How does something, get known? How does something, the term we use today, blow up, right? How does pulled pork fries become famous in Albuquerque? Well, I think it's the same, whether it's pulled pork fries or a burger or a movie or a book or a church. And that's why we're talking about this. I'm not training you to be able to be passionate about the food you eat, but I do want you to be passionate about your faith. More than your church, I want you to be passionate about your faith. And here's what I think it is. Here's how something gets big. Someone has an experience that tells someone else and invites them to have the same experience. I think it's that simple. Someone eats the food and invites someone to come and try it. Someone watches the movie, invites someone to come and watch it. Someone reads the book, invites. Are you following me? I really think this is how things grow, is that people have good experiences and they invite other people to come and to share in the experience. I saw the power of this a few months ago. I just kind of flippantly mentioned in a message that my favorite fish and chips in town is a place called Two Fools Tavern. I mentioned that in the 9 o'clock service. Before we got out of this service, I already had people from the 9 a.m. service at Two Fools eating fish and chips, tagging me on Facebook saying, "Great fish and chips, Pastor. Thank you." I'm like, I just talked about fish and chips, and then people went. And over the next several weeks, more people went. And so I went down there one day and I ordered fish and chips. And I'm like, call the waitress over. I'm like, "Hey, I just want to talk to you for a second. I pastor a church, I promoted you in a sermon. There's probably like 20 families that have come. You made a lot of money off of me. I was just curious if you might be willing to comp my fish and chips today because of that." And she looked at me like I was crazy. And so I'm not doing that anymore. I'm now promoting Laguna Burger. And I will soon be approaching them for a sponsorship, all right? If that doesn't work, we're going to have to find something else, all right? But I think this is how church works. I think this is how faith works, is that people who are passionate invite other people to have a similar experience. I want to show you this in Scripture. I'm going to be in the Gospel of John. I'm going to be in John chapter 1, and we're going to read about the Jesus kind of inviting those first disciples to come and follow him. And you're going to see some patterns here that I think will help us today with the idea of these spiritual conversations. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 29, then I'm going to skip down to verse 35. Verse 29 says this: "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him." So John, there's a lot of characters in this. You got to follow it. John sees Jesus. When he sees Jesus, this is what he says: "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in my version, probably in yours as well, there's an exclamation point. This is an excitement. He's like having this revelation. There is Jesus. He has come to pay for my sins, to take the sins of the world. I mean, this is big, big news to John. And he said, "Look, there he is." Now skip a couple of verses and go to verse 35, and it says, "The next day," so we're turning the calendar, "John again was there with two of his disciples." So picture in your mind, John is there, he's got two guys, and disciple just means this, it's a follower or a student, okay? It was very common in that day for someone to be a disciple, of a teacher or a blacksmith or a dentist or a doctor or, whatever. And so these two guys are students of John. They're following John, all right, and they're hanging out, and they see Jesus again. And when they see Jesus, John says the same thing he said the day before. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And watch what happens. When the two disciples heard him say this, They follow Jesus. So John has these two guys that are following him. And when Jesus comes by, he points it out. He says, there is the Lamb of God. These two guys are like, John, see you later. We're going to start following Jesus now. All right? So I just want you to see that. And they begin to follow Jesus. So watch what happens. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw these two guys following him. And he asked them, what do you want? Their answer is a little creepy. They say, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? It's a little creepy, right? These two guys just started following Jesus, right? And he turns around. I would ask the same thing if two guys were following me. Hey, what are you guys doing? And their answer is, right? Their answer is, well, where are you staying? That answer today would get you tased, right? Or pepper sprayed, right? Like, you don't do that today. But in this day, this was fairly common that you wanted, if you wanted to get close to a rabbi and you wanted to learn from them, you didn't just go to the service and hear the sermon. You didn't just buy the CD. You didn't listen to the podcast. You wanted to embed yourself within as close to you as you could. You wanted to get in their life. And so you would follow them. You knew where they stayed. You knew where they ate. You know what they did. You were watching every single part of their lives. Which, church, listen, this should put some pressure on us that what we do matters more than what we say. Because listen, as soon as we start having these conversations, these spiritual conversations, as soon as the first sentence of it goes out of your mouth, what matters more than the words you're saying is the life that you're living. People are now going to begin to watch. They're going to investigate. Does the lifestyle back up the words that this Christian has been professing? And so these two guys that were with John, they're getting as close to Jesus as possible. They're like, hey, where are you staying? I want to follow you. I want to be with you. And I love this, verse 39, because this simplifies the ask. Jesus says to them, come and you will see. You see how simple this is? Come and you will see. This is the invitation that Jesus used. We'll actually see it used again. And I believe this is the same invitation that you and I can use today. It's simply this. Hey, come and check it out. Hey, come and see. I mean, if you want to know, I mean, the best way is just come with me. Just come and see. And I love this idea that it's not a complicated invitation. There's no theology here, right? I mean, Jesus wasn't like, well, you know, before you start following me, let's make sure that your eschatology lines up, you know, with what my dad says is going to happen, right? It's not like they started, you know, working out the Greek and the Hebrew and working through these deep. Jesus is like, look. Come and follow me. Come and see. And the verses continue. It says, so they went, they saw where he was staying, they spent the day with him, and now it's about 4 in the afternoon. Verse 40, Andrew, so new character, all right? Lots of characters happening in these few verses. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, is one of the first two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So now we find out that one of the two that was with John is Andrew. Andrew started following Jesus, all right? Now watch this, verse 31. The first thing, just go ahead and say first. Okay? The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. The very first thing that Andrew does, because this is what passionate people do, is he went and he found someone else. In this case, he found his brother. And he's like, listen, Peter, my bro, you got to come and check this out. I found the Messiah. We've been looking for him. And come and see. Come and follow. Come be with me. He's passionate. He's an enthusiastic advocate, right? And he just met Jesus. I mean, this is happening real time. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, and he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will now be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And I love this part of the gospel. I love that from time to time as Jesus met people and they had this experience, I love this. I love that when people meet Jesus, their lives are transformed. And this is a unique case because the transformation is so drastic that Jesus says, look, I'm now going to give you a new name. I'm going to rename you. Lisa and I have this inside joke that won't be inside once I tell you. Now you'll be in on it. But we have this thing because we went through some really hard times in our marriage. And after that, we're coming out of that. We were getting better and healthy and you know, all of that. And we noticed this about the scriptures. And so Lisa decided, she's like, I'm going to rename you. I'm going to give you a new name. And so she, I don't know why we picked this name, but she when I'm doing good as her husband, she calls me Juan, all right? Juan. Maybe because she was picturing Don Juan, or maybe because she was thinking about tacos. I don't know. But she calls me Juan, all right? And so if I'm doing the dishes, she's like, good job, Juan, right? That's Juan. That's not Jason, all right? Because Jason would not be like that considerate, right? So I sign our Valentine's Day cards, like, all my love, Juan, right? And it's always awkward if someone sees that, because, like, does she have another boyfriend? You know, she does. His name is Juan, all right? And it's me, all right? But the reason we do this, it's so cheesy, but the reason we do this is for us. It indicates the life transformation that happened when I experienced Jesus for real, right? It signifies the transformation. It's this experience, this invitation to experience something that's so transformational. It will literally change who you used to be into who God said you could be all along. So here he is. Andrew invites his brother, and Jesus is like, I'm going to change your name. And then watch this. The next day, so now we're 3 days into this, right? The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to Philip, so new character, here's another name, Philip. And Jesus goes to Philip and says, hey, Philip, follow me. And here, again, Jesus is like, man of few words, right? Come and see. Follow me, right? It's not complicated, right? And here's what you need to know about this invitation, because Galilee is several hundred miles from where they currently are, all right? This is a big, if I walked up to you after service, I said, hey, will you follow me? Let's take a walk over to Mariposa Park, right? You might do that. It's a quarter mile away. I mean, it's like, come on, let's go. You could do it, right? You know, you don't have to prepare, right? But what Jesus is suggesting is more like this. As I come up to you after service, I say, hey, you don't have time to go home or pack your stuff. Just whatever you're wearing, come follow me. And you say, where are we going? I'm like, well, we're going to walk to the east side of Albuquerque, to the base of the mountain. We're going to go up the La Luz Trail. When we get to the top, we're going to find a route down. We're going to kind of figure out how to get back over to Edgewood, and then when we get over there, that's where we're gonna have our next service, you know, 3 days from now. And so come on, let's go, right? Most of you, maybe none of you, would go with me, right? And this Jesus just walks up to Philip, random guy. He's like, hey, come follow me a few hundred miles over to Galilee. But Philip has seen that something is happening, right? John followed him, and Andrew followed him, and Peter followed. All these people are following. And so Peter's like, well, what do I have to lose? And so he now begins to follow Jesus. Verse 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, and Philip found Nathanael. New character. There's so many names in this story. Watch this. Philip now, who's now following Jesus a few hundred miles to Galilee. I don't know if he's like, I don't want to do this alone. I don't know if I can trust Jesus. I need backup. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's had an experience, and now he goes to his buddy Nathanael. He's like, dude, Nathanael, you need to come with us. Can you imagine this? Where are you going? Dude, we're walking all the way to Galilee. And he does it. Like, everything about this is just crazy to me. Like, people just keep following and keep following and keep following. And so it says, Philip found Nathanael, said, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, watch the response. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Right? Like, that'd be like Los Lunas. Can anything good come from there? I was trying to offend someone. I don't know who, but, right? And watch the response. Watch the response. Watch it. And Philip just says this. He says exactly what he saw Jesus said. Come and see. Come and see. You don't believe it? You don't think something good can come out of that? Come and see, right? Just come and check it out. Just come and see. And so Philip come, Nathaniel come, and they're all coming. And it all started with these two words or three words, come and see. I really do believe it's that easy, church. I really do. I really believe that it's that easy. See, one of the questions, you know, that comes up often is, well, what if I start this conversation and what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? Like, what if they ask me for a scripture reference to back this up? Or what if they ask me something, you know, what if I don't know? And listen, it's not that complicated. In the beginning, the invitation is simply come and check out Jesus. Come and see what he can do for your life, because this is what he did for my life. Now, there's a place to dig deep. There's a place to get the concordance out and to study the Greek and to study the Hebrew and to do all that. There's a place for all the ologies, you know, pneumology and eschatology and burritoology and whatever else. There's a place for that, but the beginning is not that place. The beginning is simply a starting point that begins with come and see, right? It'd be like this. We don't propose on the first time we meet someone. Am I right? Like, that'd be a little weird, right? You meet someone like, oh man, will you marry me, right? It'd scare them away, right? I remember I met Lisa the first semester of college, and I came home and I told my mom, she's here today, she can confirm this. I said, Mom, I met the girl that I'm gonna marry. And she's like, oh, that's great, Jason. Who is she? I'm like, her name's Lisa. She's from Louisiana. She's like, are you guys dating? I'm like, she doesn't even know I exist yet, Mom. But we are getting married. I'm just telling you, right? And if I had told Lisa that, I can tell you for certain that Lisa would have ran for her life, and most of you would as well. See, we don't start with the big question. It's just like, come and see. Let's go on some dates. Come and check it out, right? Let's see if we're compatible, right? So here's the big secret about the big ask, is that the first ask is not the big ask. Right? The first ask is not the big ask. In other words, like, I know some people like this. I know some people that as soon as they meet you, I mean, within 3 seconds of meeting you, I mean, it's like a switch flips, like, oh, nice to meet you. By the way, do you know where you would go if you were to die right now? Do you know that there's a lake of fire and you're going to go there if you don't accept Jesus Christ? Can I pray with you right now? Do you want to accept Jesus right now? We can do it right now. Like, I know people like that. Right? That's popping the question a little too fast, right? It's a little too early. The first ask is not the big ask. Like, when you start talking to your coworker, right? You pop over in their cubicle. You're not going to pop over with an altar call, right? You're going to just start a conversation about faith, about Jesus, about God, about spirituality. You just begin that conversation. And I think sometimes we rush that. We allow that to overwhelm us, and we allow it to complicate something that doesn't need to be complicated, because Jesus' model was come and see. So I tried to kind of reverse engineer this a little bit. And I thought about it this way. What if we invited someone to our favorite Mexican restaurant like we sometimes invite people to church? All right, I'm just trying to like reverse this, all right? So if we were to invite someone to our favorite, you know, Mexican restaurant, it, like we do with church, it might sound like this. You might be like, hey, so I want to invite you. Like, there's this really good place that, you know, like, it's just really good. I mean, I don't want you to get the wrong idea or anything, you know, but, you know, I mean, you know, it's this Mexican place, and I know you might, maybe you had a bad experience at the last Mexican place, and so you don't want to come to this Mexican place. I know that place, that Mexican restaurant hurt you. I mean, I know that you're deeply wounded. You know, the pico wasn't right, and now you're mad, you know, and I'm sorry that brought up such bad. I know you're hurt and the pain. I can just see it on your face, and now I'm just so sorry. And I know you, maybe you're not into this. And, I mean, what if we don't believe the same thing about green chili? And, and I don't really know how to do this. Like, do I email you or do I text you or should we just talk? Or, you know, I don't know how to ask this. But, and then you'd be like, what are you trying to ask me? Like, I just want you to come eat a taco, you know? Well, so why do we do this when it comes to faith? Right, we beat around the bush. We're worried if people are going to get offended or maybe they had a bad experience. Let me just talk about that one for just a second. What if someone had a bad experience? Because that's a pretty common pushback, right? There's a lot of people in this room that have had bad church experiences, all right? It's pretty common. So if you were to invite someone, like, hey, you should come. We're doing this event. Why don't you check it out? And they go, you know, I stopped going to church a long time ago because I had this really bad experience, you know, back when I was a teenager or back whenever, you know. So think of it this way. If you invited that person to a Mexican restaurant, right, and they were to say, you know, I don't do Mexican food anymore. I had a bad experience one time over here at Tamales, right? What would we say to that? We would say, but this place is different. I'm sorry you had a bad experience. I'm sorry you found a hair in your food, you know? But this is a different place. They use hair nets, all right? Come and check. I'm your friend. I want to tell you about a bad place. I'm sorry you went to, but come. I want to show you a different kind of experience. This is why when we do growth track, this is why I tell people, listen, I want you to be so passionately in love with Jesus and your church. And if you're not in love with this church, then go and find another one that you can be passionate about. And I really do believe that. Because you need the ability to invite someone to have the same kind of experience that you have had, because it's not going to be the same as the last one. I mean, it's kind of silly to consider, you know, throwing out all experiences for the sake of one, right? When Lisa was a kid, she went to a baseball game and she ate a hot dog and she threw up. And because of that, for a very long time, she just outlawed all hot dogs. And this was a problem because one of the many, many things I'm passionate about is hot dogs. When we first got married, I had a kitchen appliance called the Hot Diggity Dogger. It looks like a little bit larger toaster. You open the bun, you put the buns on either end, you put the hot dogs in the middle, you push the button down, and it simultaneously cooks the hot dog and toasts the bun. Come on, people. You know that's awesome. And that was the first kitchen appliance that Lisa got rid of when we got married. I'm like, what is going on? Why would you get rid of one of my most valued possessions? The Hot Diggity Dogger. And she tells me this story. Well, I threw up once when I ate a hot dog. I'm like, I threw up once when I ate salad. I mean, you know, you can't rule it all out, right? I mean, and so we had this big debate, and I still don't have a Hot Diggity Dogger, and it's okay, but she will occasionally eat a hot dog, but it's got to be all beef, all right? It's got to be, because why? That is a different experience than the poorly made hot dog that she ate as a kid. So this is the idea, is we can invite someone to have a different kind of experience, which brings me to this idea. The gospel is not about explaining something, but rather about experiencing someone. See, when we get this, it changes the logic of our ask completely. We're not trying to argue them in. We're not trying to, you know, explain it all. Like, I don't know that anybody has, I mean, very few people are ever argued into faith. But every single week across our city, across our state, every single week, people are having an experience with a loving, grace-filled, transformational God. And it is changing their lives. That's what we're inviting people to experience the person of Jesus. Josiah, you can come now. So during this series, here's what I'm asking you to consider. I'm asking you to consider this question. Who is in my life that needs to have what I have? Who is in my life? Coworker, friend, neighbor, family member, you know, someone you play on a team with or on your kids' team. Like, who is in my life that needs the experience that I have, because most of us are here because we were invited by a friend. We on our guest cards, we actually have a spot there that says, you know, how did you hear about us? And I look at that week after week after week. You know, every once in a while, it's, you know, through the website or drive by or whatever. You know what the number one answer is? Invited by a friend. It's the number one answer. Most of us, I'm not just saying most of us are at heart. Most of us are believers because someone invited us to experience the Jesus that they had experienced. So I'm asking you during this series, who in your life needs what you have? I have a tool for you. We just created some invite cards. They're a business card size. They're just easy to slip in your pocket or your wallet or your purse. And you can grab some on your way out. I'd encourage you, grab 3 or 4, 5. Just put them in your pocket. It just has our information on it. It's an easy way as you're in a conversation to invite, you know, to invite someone. And I felt bad because I'm talking about food so much in this one. I know you're going to leave hungry. And so here's what I'm going to do is next Sunday, the person who brings the most guests with them, all right, you just check in at the hospitality and tell them how many guests you have. The person that brings the most guests, I wish it would have been today, Cheyenne. You would have done really good. The person next week with the most guests, I'm going to give you a gift card to Laguna Burger so you can go try for yourself, all right? You can go get those pulled pork fries. And listen, you don't even have to take your friend, all right? You can, like, the Christian thing to do is to get them here and then just go eat your pulled pork fries, all right? So here's what I want you to do. Josiah and Eleanor brought me a song this week called For the One, and as I listened to it, I read the lyrics. I realized, oh yeah, this fits our series. It really, it's the heart of God for people. You know, one of our mottos around here is this statement: everyone matters. We really do believe that every single person on the face of the planet matters. And so I'll add to that, every single person deserves to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's a little bit on us. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. They're going to sing this song. You don't really have to sing it. And I'm just kind of letting them more sing it over us, create this atmosphere for just a couple of minutes. And here's what I want you to do. Get your phone out, if that's where you take notes, or a piece of paper, or however you do this. And I'm asking you, just for 2 or 3 minutes, I'm asking you to create a hit list. Who, in a good way, who in my life needs what I have? Who in my life needs this experience with this life-changing God? Who in my life needs this? I'm asking you just like to make a list. Write down names. It was so cool. First service, we did this. Immediately, someone came up to me. Pastor, as soon as we prayed, God put a name in my, I never would have thought, but I'm calling them today. I'm going to ask them if they'll come next week, and if they'll come, I'll buy them lunch. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I believe in this moment, I believe God's going to put names in your, like some are super obvious. I mean, like literally anyone you know that is lost, that does not know Jesus, put them on the list. But I believe the Holy Spirit's going to highlight certain people to you. Spend 2 or 3 minutes, write the names down, pray. Pray over them. Pray over these names. We're going to do it together, but I want you to pray over it. And ask God for the opportunity to share your faith with these people so that they can have the same experience that you've had. Why don't you take a few minutes, listen to this song,
names,
make your hit list
that you put in our hearts right now. We pray for friends and family and coworkers that don't know you. Lord, we accept the responsibility of the Great Commission to go and to make disciples, to go and to proclaim the good news. And so, God, we're praying right now for them. We're praying that you would change hearts. We understand that that's not our role. That's your role. And we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to change hearts. But, God, we're asking you for opportunities where we can say, come and see. Come and see. Come and experience what I've experienced, the transformation that has happened in my life. So, God, we commit this list to you. I'm believing over these next few weeks, Lord, that we're going to see a lot of people who are going to come to faith. They're going to find you as their Savior. Lives are going to be transformed as we step out in faith. And so we're asking that today. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'll just do this quickly, but I want to invite you, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to experience the Jesus that I've experienced. The Jesus that saved my marriage, the Jesus that saved me, the Jesus who my life would never, I mean, I'm on a course I never could have imagined, and it's all because of Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus and you'd like to today, I'd love to pray with you. If that's you today and you just say, I want that kind of a Jesus, a transformational Jesus. I'm ready for that. If that's you, just where you're at, would you just lift your hand so I can see who you are? And I want to pray with you this morning. I promise you, you may not like Laguna Burger, but you'll fall in love with Jesus. Is there anyone today? I can't let this opportunity pass. Amen. All right, church. You got your list. You know who you're praying for this week. When the opportunity arises, don't back down. Start with a very simple, come check it out. Come experience what I've experienced. Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go tell someone about Jesus. Go eat a burger and go be.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.